Most people chase money, but money doesn't respond to chasing. This audiobook isn't about how to earn more. It's about unlocking the one spiritual and energetic law that draws wealth into your life like a magnet and never lets it go. The Law of Hidden Wealth. Introduction. The difference between people who attract wealth and people who chase it isn't luck. It's alignment. You don't receive what you want. You receive what you are aligned with. And alignment isn't random. It's governed by law. Everything in nature obeys laws. The law of gravity, the law of motion, the law of thermodynamics. Likewise, wealth operates under its own law. And the faster you understand this, the quicker your life changes. This is not superstition. It's spiritual mechanics. There is a law that determines how quickly wealth arrives in your life. A law that bypasses hustle, overrides effort, and answers to one thing only: identity. In this audiobook, we're not handing you financial advice. We're showing you the invisible law that magnetizes money, not by chance, but by spiritual design. You'll learn, why do people with little effort attract large amounts of wealth? And why does it have nothing to do with deserving? How your subconscious is the frequency transmitter that either aligns with wealth or repels it. Why manifestation is not a technique, but a tuning. And how this law makes the difference. And how to live in alignment with this law daily, even when nothing in your outer world has changed yet. The spiritual insights of Neville Goddard, Joseph Murphy, Florence Scovel Shinn, and modern quantum science all point to the same truth. Wealth follows law, not willpower. If you've ever asked, why do others attract wealth with ease? Why can't I seem to hold on to money? Why does it feel like something blocks my breakthrough? This audiobook will show you the law behind the answers. Because wealth doesn't follow effort. It follows alignment. And the moment you begin living this law, you'll feel the shift. Not just in your income, but in your identity. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Hidden Pattern Behind Fast Wealth. Change your conception of yourself, and you will automatically change the world in which you live. Neville Goddard. Before we define the law that attracts wealth fast, we must dismantle the illusion that has misled generations, the belief that money is primarily the reward of hard work. The world teaches us that hustle brings riches, that if you work long enough, push hard enough, and sacrifice consistently, money will eventually reward your devotion. But if effort alone were the key, the most exhausted people on earth would also be the wealthiest. And they are not. This is the great divide between surface understanding and spiritual truth. Wealth does not come from output, but from identity. An identity, in turn, is shaped by law, not the laws of man, but the unseen law of alignment that governs your energetic relationship to the world around you. This chapter introduces a principle that will rewire your understanding of financial abundance. Money flows according to identity, not intensity. This isn't mystical wishful thinking. It's rooted in ancient spiritual wisdom and modern science. Quantum mechanics tells us that the observer and the observed are intimately entangled. Your expectations and beliefs, your frequency, shape your experience of reality. The subconscious mind, as Joseph Murphy taught, is the soil in which every seed of wealth either takes root or dies. And this internal environment, your thoughts, emotions, assumptions, and deep self-image, emits a vibrational signature, a signal, a tone. Wealth is not responding to what you do. It's responding to what you are. The law of energetic congruence. Let's define the law more clearly. The law of energetic congruence says this: your internal frequency must match the external reality you desire. What you live as, not what you wish for, becomes your world. If your body is tense with fear, if your subconscious is filled with scarcity stories, if your emotional baseline is anxiety around money, then it doesn't matter how many hours you put in. You're tuned to lack, and so the field reflects lack. This explains why someone with fewer qualifications, less effort, and minimal strategy can still experience a windfall of wealth, because something within them already feels wealthy. They're not thinking about getting money. They're embodying the state of already being the kind of person who has it. Their nervous system isn't rejecting wealth. Their subconscious isn't at war with increase. Their identity says, "This is normal for me." That's why Neville Goddard repeatedly taught the practice of assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. Not to manipulate God or the universe, but to become congruent with your desired end. The law doesn't respond to wishes, it mirrors states of being. Fast wealth is identity first. The fast in fast wealth doesn't mean skipping growth, it means collapsing time by aligning with the outcome now, not someday. This is why affirmations without transformation often don't work. You can say, "I am abundant," 100 times, but if your nervous system is screaming, "I don't believe this," the law does not respond to your words. It responds to your resonance. Words are only powerful when they carry truthful vibration. That's why this law can't be gamed. It cannot be tricked or fooled. It doesn't care what you post online or how positive you pretend to be. It's looking for one thing, an authentic frequency match. And that frequency lives deep in the subconscious, not on the surface. From roots to riches. Nature is your teacher here. A seed cannot grow unless the soil is right. You wouldn't plant an apple tree in concrete and expect fruit. And yet so many of us try to manifest wealth from a place of anxiety, shame, or unworthiness, and wonder why it won't grow. The universe is fertile. Your desires are seeds, but your inner soil determines what blooms. So ask yourself, what is my body saying about wealth right now? Does it feel safe to receive? What assumptions live in my subconscious about money, power, and worth? Am I trying to earn money through force, or align with it through being? Remember, energy precedes manifestation. Form follows frequency. Money is just the outer fruit of inner congruence. The practice begins within. To live by this law, you must go inward. You must stop asking, "How do I get money?" and start asking, "Who am I in relationship to abundance?" The question isn't whether you want money. The question is whether your identity allows it. Because wealth never violates your vibration. It waits for your resonance. And so, we return to the root. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. You don't chase money. You become the version of you that money chases. And that version isn't louder. It's not more desperate. It's not better at strategy. It's simply aligned. In Chapter 2, we'll explore how wealth is not a goal. It's a frequency. We'll explore quantum resonance in more detail and explain why shifting your internal signal is the fastest way to increase your income. But for now, remember this. You're not broken. You're broadcasting. And the universe is only echoing back the tone you carry. Adjust the tone, and the song of your life will change. Chapter 2. Wealth is a frequency, not a goal. Your subconscious mind takes the orders you give it based upon what your conscious mind believes and accepts as true. Dr. Joseph Murphy. In Chapter 1, we unmask the illusion that effort alone attracts money. We revealed that wealth is not a reward for hustle, but a reflection of identity. The universe doesn't respond to how badly you want something. It mirrors what you already are. Now we go one layer deeper, into the frequency that drives the entire system. Because wealth isn't just a concept. It isn't a number in your bank account or a goal on your vision board. It's a resonance. The one law that attracts wealth fast is not moral. It's vibrational. It isn't impressed by effort. It's attuned to coherence. And here's the secret most people never hear. Money doesn't come when you try harder. It comes when you tune better. Quantum field meets the subconscious. Let's merge science and spirituality for a moment. According to quantum physics, we live in a field of infinite potential. Every possible reality, including abundance or lack, exists in the field as probabilities. But these probabilities only become actualized when observed. And that observation is filtered through your beliefs, emotions, and assumptions, all stored in the subconscious mind. Dr. Joe Dispenza says it this way: your personality creates your personal reality. And your personality is not just your behavior, it's your state of being, your thoughts, emotions, and energetic patterns. Florence Scovel Shinn echoes this truth in metaphysical terms. You must live fully in the now to make your dreams come true. To put it simply, the state you live in becomes the signal you send. If your dominant vibration is fear around money, the field, this infinite quantum soup of possibility, collapses into outcomes that match that fear. This is not punishment, it's precision. The law is perfect. It delivers not what you beg for, but what you broadcast. The radio analogy, upgraded. Imagine you're a radio. The station you tune into determines the music you hear. If you want to hear abundance, you must turn the dial of your being, your thoughts, emotions, posture, words, to the frequency where abundance plays. But here's where people get confused. They think wanting is tuning. It's not. Desire alone doesn't shift frequency. If it did, everyone who wanted wealth would be wealthy. What shifts frequency is being, embodiment, harmony. It's not enough to say, I want to be rich. You must become the kind of person who already is. Inwardly, emotionally, energetically. That's how you move from delay to flow, from wishing to receiving. The nervous system test. Here's a practical checkpoint. Think about receiving $100,000 unexpectedly tomorrow. Don't just imagine the money. Feel the reality of it. Now, notice what happens in your body. Do you feel expanded, excited, safe? Or do you tense up? Do old thoughts surface? Would I even know what to do with it? That's too much. I don't deserve that. Your nervous system tells the truth about your frequency. And until you feel safe with wealth, the law cannot deliver it. Not because it's cruel, but because it's congruent. The field always checks in with your nervous system before it releases the flow. This is why affirmations, vision boards, and goal setting only work when they're supported by inner safety. Your subconscious must feel that having more is not a threat. That abundance is home, not invasion. The law of resonant return. We call it the law of attraction, but a more accurate name might be the law of resonant return, because what you experience in life is not randomly selected. It's magnetically matched. Money is a frequency, and that frequency responds only to its kin. If you're broadcasting 93.7 FM, fear, lack, hustle, the wealth vibration at 107.5 FM isn't tuning in. So how do you shift? You stop chasing. You stop forcing. And you begin to stabilize in the state you seek. This is not mental trickery. This is energetic sovereignty. When you choose to regulate your nervous system, when you choose thoughts that align with wealth, when you walk as if you are already supported, the law notices, the field shifts, and your reality bends to meet your coherence. Embodiment is the real work. Most people try to do their way into wealth, but the law doesn't respond to doing, it responds to being. Being is showing up with the vibration of trust. Being is regulating your body to hold more goodness without sabotage. Being is speaking as if the outcome is already yours, because it is in the field. This is why in Chapter 1, we said, fast wealth isn't luck. It's lawful. When you enter vibrational congruence with the wealth you seek, the gap between you and the result dissolves. You are no longer waiting. You're receiving. In the next chapter, we will name this law in full. We'll trace its roots through scripture, metaphysics, and quantum field theory. And you'll learn how it has been working, whether you knew it or not. But before we go there, pause and reflect. What frequency have you been living in? What does your nervous system feel like when you think of overflow? What would it take to become someone for whom wealth is natural, not shocking? This audiobook is not here to help you try harder. It's here to help you tune cleaner. You are a transmitter. You are a signal tower. You are the access point through which the law flows. And when you become the vibration of wealth, wealth becomes the only possible result. Chapter 3. The law works like a mirror. As within, so without. As above, so below. In Chapter 1, we uncovered the truth that wealth flows not from effort, but from energetic congruence, from identity. In Chapter 2, we stepped deeper into the idea that wealth is not a goal, but a frequency, and your reality is shaped by the signal you emit. Now, we reveal a profound but often misunderstood truth about this law. The universe does not give you what you ask for. It reflects what you are. The law that attracts wealth fast works exactly like a mirror. It has no opinions, no judgment, and no preference. It simply reflects your dominant vibration, your inner truth, with absolute precision. If you look into a mirror and frown, the mirror frowns back. You don't argue with the mirror. You don't try to fix the mirror. You don't beg the mirror to change. You change yourself, and the reflection follows. This is the same law that governs manifestation. Yet most people, unaware of the mirror principle, try to rearrange the reflection without changing the image source. They chase more income, but still carry poverty in their posture. They recite affirmations, but still expect rejection. They visualize abundance while vibrating lack. And the mirror? It listens not to what you say, but to what you are. The mirror responds to the inner image. Neville Goddard taught, "Change your concept of yourself, and you will change the outer world." But this change doesn't happen by force. It happens by resonance. The outer world, like a mirror, does not create. It only reflects. It doesn't initiate. It echoes. If your subconscious believes you are unworthy of wealth, no matter how many financial goals you write down, the mirror will reflect that unworthiness. That is why the inner image, the impression on your subconscious, is everything. Joseph Murphy reminds us that the subconscious is impersonal. It accepts whatever is impressed upon it, especially when that impression is mixed with strong emotion or repetition. If you carry emotional memories of lack, shame, or fear about money, those impressions become the source image. The mirror reflects them until you shift the image itself. The observer effect and the self-image. Let's turn for a moment to quantum science. The observer effect tells us that subatomic particles exist in a state of probability until observed, and the very act of observation affects the outcome. In other words, your internal state, your beliefs, your focus, your self-image, literally shapes what solidifies in your reality. The law responds to certainty, not pleading. It responds to the tone of your energy, not the volume of your voice. And certainty is not loud. It's not frantic. It's quiet, steady, whole. The wealth you desire is already present in the field as potential, but it cannot land in a vessel that believes itself broken. The mirror only reflects what's available. So the question becomes, what image are you offering the mirror? What version of yourself are you projecting into the field? The thought-feeling loop. Your dominant vibration is not just a random mood. It's the result of a powerful feedback loop. Thought to feeling, feeling to belief, belief to identity, identity to reality, and finally, reality to reinforced thought. Here's how the mirror gets locked. You think, "I never have enough." You feel anxious and limited. This feeling gets repeated and reinforced until it becomes a belief. That belief hardens into identity. I am someone who struggles financially. And your reality, reflecting that identity, delivers more struggle. You look at the lack and say, "See, I told you." and the mirror says, "As you wish." The way out is not to argue with the mirror, but to interrupt the loop, to insert new thoughts, to create new emotional imprints, to live as if the mirror already changed because you did first. Spiritual embodiment, not intellectual agreement. Many people intellectually agree with these ideas, but the law doesn't respond to intellectual agreement. It responds to spiritual embodiment. You can understand that you're worthy of wealth, but if you still shrink your desires, avoid pricing your work correctly, or feel guilt when you receive, the law reads that as your true signal. To change the mirror, you must live from a new identity. Not someday, now, even if the reflection hasn't caught up yet. This is what Neville called living in the end. It's not pretending. It's not performance. It's embodying the version of you that already dwells in the wealth you desire. And embodiment shows up in small things. The way you carry yourself. The way you speak about money. The energy you emit when spending, receiving, and even thinking about wealth. Every act of embodiment tells the mirror, "This is who I am now." And the mirror, bound by law, adjusts to meet you. The shift begins here. Wealth comes fast, not when you force the world to change, but when you realize it was never the world holding you back. It was your reflection. That reflection always responds to the one thing that never lies, your frequency. To recap, the law is a mirror. It cannot give what you are not. Your internal image shapes the reality reflected back. Thoughts, emotions, and identity form the vibration that determines what the mirror reveals. The shift is not external. It's internal. And it's available now. In Chapter 4, we will explore why the mirror often seems slow to respond and how to stay aligned when the reflection hasn't caught up yet. We'll talk about time delay, calibration, and how divine timing isn't delay, it's integration. But for now, pause and look inward. What truth are you showing the mirror? Not the truth you wish was real, but the one you're actually living. Because once you change the image, the mirror will have no choice. It must reflect what's now true. And when that truth is abundance, nothing else can return to you. Chapter 4. Delay is not denial. It's calibration. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. In Chapter 3, we saw that the universe is a mirror, reflecting not our words, but our essence. It responds to what we embody, not what we wish. But there's one part of this reflection process that frustrates even the most awakened souls. Time. You shift your mindset. You speak your affirmations. You align your vibration. And then, silence. Nothing happens, or so it seems. The bank balance doesn't change. The opportunity doesn't arrive. The client doesn't say yes. You wonder, if I'm doing everything right, where's the result? This chapter answers that question with a profound reminder. Delay is not punishment. It's precision. It's not denial. It's calibration. The law works on frequency, not your clock. We are taught to worship speed, quick success, instant gratification, overnight results. But the one law that attracts wealth fast does not submit to artificial timelines. It responds to energetic integrity, to congruence, to coherence. If there is even a slight mismatch between your stated desire and your internal belief, the law pauses, not to withhold, but to help you align. This is not rejection, it's protection. Let's return to the mirror analogy from Chapter 3. If you look into a mirror and start changing your posture slowly, the reflection changes instantly. But in manifestation, the mirror is the field of infinite possibilities, and it carries more variables: subconscious patterns, quantum probabilities, emotional readiness, and divine timing. So while some things reflect quickly, others require inner stabilization before the outer can shift. In short, the law is not slow, it's thorough. Calibration, the invisible rearranging. What if the delay you feel right now is not a block, but a build? What if the universe is not ignoring your request, but recalibrating your life to handle the very thing you're asking for? You want more money, but your nervous system panics at responsibility. You want more clients, but you haven't yet created boundaries to protect your energy. You want abundance, but you still believe it comes from effort, not embodiment. So the field says, wait, let's stabilize you first. This is calibration. It's not passive, it's divine engineering. And during this time, everything is being adjusted to hold what you're about to receive. Old habits are being revealed. False beliefs are being unraveled. Relationships, environments, and even your inner chemistry are being tuned. Why? Because what you attract is only as strong as what can hold it. Nature never rushes, and it never fails. Look at nature. It is the perfect blueprint of this law. The oak tree does not appear the day after the acorn is planted. There is no shortcut to blooming. Growth begins underground, unseen. The roots form before the leaves. And when it finally rises, it stands strong. Because it has been built properly, the tree doesn't feel denied. It's not being punished. It's being prepared. Likewise, wealth comes fast only when your container is ready. You'll sabotage the blessing if you try to receive before you're calibrated. Not because you're unworthy, but because the foundation isn't steady. The law wants your abundance to last, not collapse. So in the pause, trust the process. Something is rooting. Something is strengthening. The gap between desire and readiness. Here's a profound truth many overlook. There is always a gap between what you want and what you're ready for. Your conscious mind can say, I want $1 million, but your body may still hold trauma around having enough. Your subconscious may still associate wealth with danger, loss, or stress. And so, the delay. But instead of interpreting it as failure, see it as feedback. The field is saying, your signal is good, but your structure needs fortifying. Let's upgrade your capacity. This is not denial. It's love. The law doesn't just deliver wealth. It makes you into the person who can hold it without losing peace. How to stay aligned when nothing seems to be happening. In these moments of silence, most people revert. They go back to hustling. They try to manipulate, chase, or beg. They jump timelines out of fear and collapse their own alignment. But you are different. You are learning to trust the law. Here's how to stay in that trust. Regulate your nervous system. When nothing seems to be happening, focus on calming your body. Remember, safety equals receptivity. Live as if the outcome is already guaranteed. Not with arrogance, but with peace. You don't obsessively check the mirror. Assume the image has changed because you have. Strengthen your embodiment. Keep showing up as the version of you who already has what you asked for. Let that identity lead your thoughts, choices, and speech. Reframe the delay. Every moment of waiting is a moment of weaving. The tapestry is being stitched behind the scenes, and the longer it takes, the richer the detail. Stay in gratitude for the unseen. Gratitude is evidence that you trust the process. It's the language of calibration. Divine timing is not linear, it's layered. From a higher perspective, divine timing isn't about delay. It's about layering. The law stacks things with precision so that when the moment arrives, everything fits perfectly. The mentor appears at the exact moment you're ready to receive. The door opens when you've stopped forcing and started flowing. The opportunity lands when your posture can hold the weight of it. Suddenly, things appear to happen all at once. But they weren't random. They were building. As Florence Scovel Shinn said, "Before you call, it is already answered, but you must be on the right wire to hear it." That wire is alignment. Delays are the tuning of that wire, not the absence of response. What's really happening in the waiting? Here's the final shift. Stop calling it waiting. Start calling it weaving. Stop seeing the delay as punishment. Start seeing it as positioning. The law never forgets a signal that was sent in faith. It simply moves everything, including you, into perfect placement before delivery. So when you feel delayed, pause and say, "I am not being denied. I'm being designed." Because once the calibration is complete, the mirror reflects, the frequency locks, and what was once potential becomes form. In Chapter 5, we will go deeper into how your daily habits either reinforce your signal or disrupt it, and how small, aligned actions become the soil that wealth grows in. But for now, trust this. The law is never off. It's only aligning you to receive what you once tried to earn. And when you're finally tuned, it comes fast. Chapter 5, Habits of the Wealth Frequency, Becoming the Ground for Overflow. Your subconscious mind is like a garden. Whatever you plant, thoughts, beliefs, habits, it grows. Dr. Joseph Murphy. In Chapter 4, we explored why delay isn't denial. It's divine calibration. The law doesn't withhold, it aligns. And now that we've established this foundational truth, we must ask, what are you being calibrated into? The answer is simple, but sacred. You are becoming the kind of vessel that can hold wealth, not just receive it. This chapter is about that becoming. It's not enough to want wealth. You must walk in a way that wealth recognizes. Not to prove your worth, but to anchor your frequency. Wealth doesn't respond to wishful thinking. It responds to energetic consistency, and that consistency is built through habits. Wealth is not a windfall. It's a rhythm. There's a dangerous lie in the manifestation space that wealth arrives in one dramatic event, one check, one client, one quantum leap. But real wealth, the kind that stays, doesn't arrive as a windfall. It arrives as a rhythm, a practiced, embodied frequency, a way of being. This rhythm is established through your habits, not just the big ones, but the small ones you repeat daily, the way you speak about money, handle small transactions, make decisions under pressure, react to setbacks, value your time and energy. These are not just routines. They are rituals. Each one either affirms or contradicts your wealth frequency. Remember, Chapter 3, the law is a mirror, and the mirror reflects your consistency. When you embody wealth in your habits, not just your hopes, the mirror begins to reflect accordingly. Habits are the soil of manifestation. Think of habits as the ground into which your desires are planted. Your intention is the seed. Your faith is the sunlight. Your habits, the soil. You can have the most powerful affirmation and vision board in the world, but if the soil, your daily habits, is full of doubt, neglect, and contradiction, the seed can't grow. Joseph Murphy puts it clearly. Your habitual thinking determines your reality. So if you want wealth to come fast and stay long, you don't just plant the seed once and walk away. You cultivate the soil. You check in on your emotional patterns. You replace scarcity language with wealth language. You treat every action, no matter how small, as a declaration of your frequency. This is not about perfection, it's about pattern. Aligned habits versus hustle habits. Let's be clear. Wealth habits are not the same as hustle habits. The world teaches you that if you want more money, you must grind, sacrifice, and compete. But the one law we are exploring doesn't reward effort. It rewards energetic alignment. That means wealth habits are rooted in peace, not pressure. When your habits flow from wholeness rather than fear, they reinforce the frequency of abundance. As Neville Goddard said, you must assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. But the feeling isn't just emotional, it's habitual. You can feel wealthy and still act broke. And the law will follow your actions, not just your moods. Anchoring wealth through micro actions. You don't need a complete life overhaul to match the wealth frequency. You need micro actions that echo the identity of abundance. Examples of micro habits that anchor the wealth signal. Checking your accounts with gratitude, not fear. Paying for things without flinching, even small ones. Making decisions based on vision, not current limitations. Tipping generously to reinforce overflow. Decluttering your space. Energetically making room for more. Speaking about your business, work, or creativity with excitement, not an apology. Each of these small acts tells the universe, I am available for more. They are not about money. They are about identity. And the law always responds to identity. The Science Behind Habit and Identity. Modern neuroscience supports this. Your brain forms neural pathways based on repetition. The more you repeat a thought, feeling, or behavior, the more natural it becomes, and the more your subconscious uses it as a base for decisions. Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches that we must fire and wire new neural patterns before the new life can appear. That means your daily habits are literally rewiring your brain to become the version of you who already has the wealth you desire. Every time you act from that version, even if your outer reality hasn't caught up yet, you shift your chemistry. And when your chemistry changes, so does your field. And when your field changes, the mirror has no choice but to reflect. The ritual of showing up. There's one more reason habits matter. They are evidence to your subconscious that you mean it. When you show up every day in small, intentional ways, you train your inner world to believe you're ready. No more mixed signals, no more chasing. You're being. And being is the most powerful form of asking. So even if the results haven't appeared yet, keep dressing like someone who values their time. Keep walking like someone who expects success. Keep choosing like someone who has nothing to prove. These are the subtle rituals that rearrange everything. Recap and reflection. Let's pause and reflect on what we've covered. Habits are frequency stabilizers. They reinforce the energy you're sending into the field. The universe responds to patterns, not promises. It reflects your consistency, not your intention. Small, aligned actions speak louder than massive, desperate ones. Wealth is a rhythm, not a jackpot. You're not becoming wealthy. You're becoming the person who lives in that flow already. This is the ground. This is the soil. And if you've been wondering how to make it real, this is your answer. Live it daily, in detail. In Chapter 6, we'll explore how your environment, the people, places, and energies around you, either amplify or suppress your signal. You'll also learn how to create spaces that align with your becoming. But until then, remember, the law doesn't bless performance. It blesses alignment. And the most powerful proof of your alignment is your pattern. Chapter 6. Your environment is an echo, crafting a reality that mirrors your identity. In Chapter 5, we saw that habits are not just routines. They are rituals of resonance. They stabilize the wealth frequency. But even the most aligned habits can wilt in the wrong environment. Why? Because your environment is not neutral. It either reinforces your signal or erodes it. Just as the soil determines how well a seed will grow, your environment determines how fully your wealth identity can root, rise, and thrive. Environment is not just where you live. It's everything your energy touches, your thoughts, your relationships, your digital space, your work atmosphere, even the conversations you allow. All of it either echoes your wealth identity or creates dissonance. The one law that attracts wealth fast works harmoniously with all that surrounds you. When your external environment contradicts your identity, the law gets mixed signals and the mirror fogs. Let's clear the mirror. The frequency of your physical space. Look around the space you live in. Is it clean or cluttered? Is it curated with intention or filled with leftovers of past versions of you? Does it signal abundance or whisper survival? This isn't about luxury or aesthetics. It's about resonance. A wealthy frequency is spacious, grounded, clear. Not because money made it that way, but because that space made room for cash. Florence Scovel Shinn wrote, "Your word is your wand, but so is your environment. The items you keep, the way you treat your home, your workspace, your car, they all speak to your subconscious, and your subconscious relays that message into the field." Want to upgrade your frequency? Start with the space you control. Even a single drawer, cleared in intentional silence, sends a powerful message. I am ready to be the person who owns more. Social echoes. People are mirrors, too. Have you ever left a conversation feeling heavy, drained, or doubting yourself? That's not a random mood swing. That's resonance being disrupted. You are a vibrational being. And others either amplify or distort your wealth frequency. So ask yourself, who in your life believes in your expansion? Who reinforces your limitation? Who respects your boundaries and values your growth? Who insists on relating to an outdated version of you? Sometimes it's not self-doubt holding you back. It's being surrounded by people who normalize playing small. This isn't about cutting people off impulsively. It's about becoming aware of energetic cost. Every conversation is an exchange. Every relationship is a feedback loop. And when you surround yourself with echoes of your wealth identity, the mirror responds faster because there's less static. You don't need to be around billionaires. You need to be around believers who see your vision as possible, not ridiculous. Even one aligned voice can change your entire field. Digital clutter equals energetic clutter. The environment includes your digital life, your inbox, your news feed, the audio you listen to when you're alone. Each input either aligns with wealth or reactivates scarcity. If you constantly consume content that triggers lack, fear, or comparison, you're letting noise into the sacred temple of your being. Guard your ears like you guard your wallet. Your frequency is sensitive. Curate your inputs with as much care as your outputs. Try this. Unfollow voices that trigger stress. Revisit the affirmations you scroll past. Resubscribe to channels, books, and podcasts that stir power in you. Create a digital environment that reminds you of who you're becoming, not who you used to be. You'll be amazed how fast clarity returns when noise disappears. Neuroplasticity and your surroundings. Modern neuroscience backs this up. Your environment shapes your neurochemistry. The concept of neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself, is most effective when supported by consistent, meaningful external cues. Think of it this way. Your brain creates a new belief faster when it sees physical reinforcement. Want to believe you're abundant? Then eat from plates that make you feel abundant. Speak words that echo abundance. Surround yourself with visuals, scents, and music that match your desired frequency. These aren't indulgences. They are anchoring devices. they help the new self-image feel familiar, which is critical for the subconscious to accept it as truth. Environment as a spiritual choice. This chapter is not just practical, it's deeply spiritual. When you curate your environment, you're not just tidying up. You're performing an act of alignment. You're declaring, "I take the invisible seriously enough to reflect it in the visible." This is what spiritual maturity looks like. Not waiting for the miracle to clean your life, but cleaning your life because the miracle is already on the way. There's something prophetic about preparation. It says to the universe, "I'm not hoping anymore, I'm hosting." And the law responds to hosts, not just hopers. Keys to creating a wealth-aligned environment. Let's recap what we've covered. Your environment is not passive. It echoes your identity back to you. Your physical space should support, not suppress, your wealth signal. The people around you either amplify your becoming or pull you into your past. Your digital inputs create emotional resonance. Choose wisely. Neuroplasticity confirms that the brain responds to aligned surroundings. Curating your space is not vanity, it's vibration maintenance. Decluttering is spiritual. Upgrading is prophetic. The environment is prayer with your hands. In Chapter 7, we'll explore the invisible language of wealth, expectation. You'll discover why the most powerful magnet isn't desire, it's assumption. We'll uncover how to train your nervous system to expect more, not with entitlement, but with energetic readiness. But for now, take a moment to walk through your environment. Ask yourself, does this space agree with who I'm becoming? If not, shift it, even slightly, because the law is already responding. And it's listening to what your surroundings are saying about you. Chapter 7, The Expectation Frequency. Why wealth follows assumption, not desperation. According to your faith, be it unto you. What happens when you've aligned your identity? Chapter 1. Broadcasted the wealth frequency. Chapter 2. Cleared the inner mirror. Chapter 3. Surrendered to divine timing, Chapter 4. Cultivated stabilizing habits, Chapter 5. And reshaped your environment, Chapter 6. You activate one of the most potent attractors of all, expectation, because the universe doesn't just respond to your thoughts, it responds to your tone of belief. And expectation is the clearest tone of all. Expectation is not desperation in disguise. It's not begging in a better outfit. Expectation is the calm, grounded assumption that what you've aligned with is already yours and will materialize in due form and timing. It's the invisible magnet that pulls form from the formless. Let's break it open. Expectation versus wanting. Wanting is tricky. It often feels spiritual because it's laced with affirmations, vision boards, and declarations. But underneath the surface, wanting can be a disguised admission of lack. You can want money and still not expect to receive it. You can want wealth and still vibrate with not enough. You can want success and still feel unworthy of attention. Expectation is different. It doesn't reach. It receives. It doesn't hustle. It hosts. It doesn't ask, "Will it happen?" It prepares as if it already has. Neville Goddard explained this clearly. Assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. That's not just a thought exercise. It's a vibrational recalibration. Expectation reorders your nervous system to match the outcome, not the absence. Wanting begs. Expectation embodies. And the law listens to the embodiment. The quantum field responds to assumption. In quantum physics, all possibilities exist in a field of potential until one is selected by observation, meaning by focus and emotion. Your expectation, when consistent and emotionally charged, collapses the wave of potential into form. Said another way, the universe waits for your internal confirmation before it moves. That confirmation is an expectation. You've already done the groundwork. Your identity has been upgraded, your signal clarified, your space cleaned, your relationships aligned. Expectation is the energetic yes that allows the pattern to complete. Just like electricity needs a closed circuit to flow, manifestation needs the circuit of certainty to complete the delivery. And that circuit closes with expectation. Your nervous system is always listening. Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches that when we expect something bad to happen, we signal survival emotions, fear, doubt, worry, and frustration. These emotions produce stress hormones, which keep the body in a low-frequency loop, reinforcing more of the same. But when we train the body to live from peaceful certainty, we signal to the subconscious, I'm safe to receive. I'm ready now. The body becomes the antenna of the field. The nervous system becomes a match to wealth. The mirror clears. The law responds. So, how do you expect to do without faking it? You train yourself to live as if it's normal. You bless your meals as if your abundance provided them. You sit silently and say, thank you, without waiting for a reason. You open your inbox like good news is routine. You walk into rooms like someone who belongs in opportunities. It's not arrogance. It's alignment. Rehearsing the result. Here's a powerful mental rehearsal practice. Imagine yourself already possessing the wealth, peace, or success you desire. What are you wearing? Who are you with? How do you carry yourself? How do others respond to you? What decisions do you make? But don't just imagine the images. Feel the emotional texture. Because it's the feeling tone that teaches the body what to expect. Over time, your nervous system will not know the difference between imagined wealth and manifested wealth, and the universe will move accordingly. You won't just think rich, you'll become the frequency of wealth. Replace hope with preparation. Hope has its place, but hope often carries a hidden doubt. I hope it happens, but I'm not sure. Expectation, on the other hand, says, it's already done. I just haven't walked into it yet. That's a whole different field of attraction. So what would shift in your life if you replaced hope with preparation? Would you invest in yourself differently? Would you speak about your goals in a new tone? Would you delay decisions less? Would you create content, make offers, or build products with more clarity? Preparation proves to the universe that you're no longer waiting. You're welcoming. Supernatural confidence. Faith meets. Frequency. Expectation is faith that's made practical. It's walking like the bridge is already built. And when you combine expectation with aligned identity, consistent habits, and a wealth-ready environment, miracles don't just show up. They feel inevitable. This is not superstition. This is spiritual mechanics. The field reflects your dominant assumption. The mirror responds to your posture, not your petition. The one law doesn't reward striving. It follows alignment. You don't attract what you want. You attract what your nervous system has normalized. So, normalize wealth. Normalize winning. Normalize receiving with ease. Because the moment you do, reality follows. The power of expectation. Expectation is the highest signal of belief, higher than hope, louder than affirmation. Wanting signals are lax. Expectation signals possession. The quantum field collapses potential into form through consistent, assumed emotion. Your nervous system must feel safe with wealth for wealth to stay. Replace hope with preparation. Walk like it's already yours. The universe doesn't need more effort from you. It requires your energetic confirmation. In Chapter 8, we'll tie it all together with the final key, completion energy. We'll explore what it means to move like someone who is already whole, already ready, already chosen. You'll discover why the final step is not a hustle, but the embodiment of enoughness. But for now, sit with this. What are you expecting today? Not in theory, but in your nervous system. Because that's the seed the universe is watering. The one law is listening. And it answers not your words, but your certainty. Chapter 8, The Power of Completion. Acting from wholeness, not waiting for it. To them that have, more shall be given, but to them that have not, even what they have shall be taken away. This isn't a punishment, it's a pattern. Life doesn't reward desperation, it reflects completion. In Chapter 7, we explored how expectation is the energetic proof of belief, how the universe responds not to hope, but to assumed readiness. Now, we move to the final posture that accelerates attraction. Not reaching, not rehearsing, but resting in the wholeness of now. This is the paradox. The moment you stop needing wealth to complete you, you become magnetic to it. This final chapter is about becoming the signal, not just broadcasting it. It's about why the energy of I already am moves faster than the energy of one day I will be. Let's bring it all together. Completion energy versus chasing energy. Chasing energy says, when I get the money, I'll feel secure. When the client signs, I'll believe in my offer. When I hit the goal, I'll be enough. Completion energy says, I feel secure now, so wealth naturally matches me. I trust the value of my offer, so the right people are already on their way. I already am enough, and from that place, I magnetize more. One comes from lack. The other flows from fullness. One delays the mirror. The other activates it instantly. In the field of creation, you only receive what your energy says you already have. You become wealthy by first being whole, not perfect, just internally resolved. Resolved that you're not lacking. Resolved that you're not late. Resolved that you are already operating as the person who receives. Wholeness is the frequency of done, and the one law responds to done. From becoming to being. Many manifestation teachings emphasize becoming, but becoming, if misunderstood, keeps you on a treadmill, always reaching, never arriving. But the wealth you're calling in doesn't require more doing. It requires a shift in being. When you operate from completion, you don't push, you pull. You don't force, you flow. You don't hustle, you host. This is the law of resonance in its final form. You no longer speak as one becoming, you speak as one being. Not future tense, present identity. Florence Scovel Shinn wrote, "There is no peace or happiness for man until he has erased all fear from the subconscious. And nothing erases fear like the frequency of enoughness." You stop trying to deserve. You simply decide. You stop chasing transformation. You start remembering who you are. The neuroscience of enoughness. Let's revisit the brain. When your nervous system feels complete, when it's not expecting threat, delay, or denial, it relaxes into receiving mode. The parasympathetic system takes over. Your cortisol drops. Your heart rate regulates. Creativity flows. Intuition heightens. This is not woo. It's wiring. You cannot enter abundance in survival mode. Completion energy shuts off the alarm system and opens the door. You tell the brain, "This is safe. This is familiar. This is me." And then wealth becomes natural. Why wholeness attracts more. You don't attract more because you're missing something. You attract more because you have the capacity to hold it. Wholeness creates energetic containment. It tells the universe, "This blessing has a place to land." Think of it like a vessel. If it's cracked with self-doubt, shame, fear, the water leaks. But when it's whole, sealed with belief and certainty, the water stays. It multiplies. It overflows. That's why wholeness precedes wealth. And that's why the law always completes the circle that you finish first within yourself. How to live as whole now. Completion, energy isn't theory. It's a daily embodiment. Here's how to cultivate it. Start your day in already energy. Don't ask for money. Give thanks like it's already flowing. Rehearse your identity. Don't visualize wealth vaguely. Feel it in your skin. Your choices, your language. Let go of measurement. If you keep looking for signs that it's working, you're not resting, you're doubting. Grounded in simplicity. Eat, walk, breathe, and speak like someone who is no longer in lack. And when fear creeps in, don't suppress it. Soothe it with the truth. I don't need to chase. I already contain what I desire. You don't become a magnet by trying harder. You become a magnet by no longer doubting what you are. Completion is the fastest frequency. Wholeness attracts more than desperation ever can. The universe responds to already done, not almost there. Your nervous system must feel safe with wealth for wealth to stay. Completion energy is not complacency. It's the deepest form of trust. You don't manifest wealth by deserving it. You manifest it by owning it. energetically. The mirror is ready. If you've walked through this audiobook, From Identity to Signal, Clarity to Surrender, Habits to Expectation, then hear this. You are not missing anything. You are ready. The law that attracts wealth fast is not complicated. It is activated by internal alignment. It is sustained by emotional integrity. And it is accelerated by the calm, unwavering frequency of already. The mirror is waiting. Not for your perfection, but for your decision to stop chasing, to stop doubting, to stop asking if it works, and start walking like it already has.